Now, those of you who reached the age of reason somewhere in the 1970s, you will remember the smallpox menace. Smallpox, I mean, hundreds and thousands of people died from the smallpox virus. And finally, in a global attempt, this virus was eradicated from the entire known world. Except in two little vials, the virus, the smallpox virus, still exists. And 40 years later, I heard this in the news the last week, the virus has become a subject of much controversy. Well, what do we do with this virus? What should we do? The virus exists only with two countries, Russia and the United States. And many people are saying, what's the point in hanging on to this destructive virus? Just destroy it, get rid of it. And there are those who say, well, let's keep it for the sake of science. But as the discussion gets deeper, you realize that this is really not about science. It's about the politics of domination. If this virus can be used as a biological weapon, then the country that does not have the smallpox virus could be at a debilitating disadvantage. So that's the whole question. So here is just one example of how the world, as beautiful and delightful as it is also beset with problems. And I'm saying that the manner in which we go about solving our most complex problems reveals the character of the people who live in that time of history. The church is not unlike the world. The church is holy, just as the world is beautiful and delightful. But being human, it has constantly faced vexing obstacles and complex challenges in its life. And the three readings that we have for today in some way bring out the problems that existed in that early Christian church, both in the post-Easter and the pre-Easter church. So for example, let's begin with a gospel reading. John composed this section that we read in today's gospel reading as Jesus' farewell address. The disciples, though, are not anywhere close to where Jesus is speaking, at least conceptually. He's talking about being the way, the light, and Pete and Philip is so out of league, you know, and Jesus has to say to him, have I been with you for so long, Philip, and you still don't get it? And while John is writing this for the sake of capturing the life of Jesus, perhaps he was also writing to the people whom he was addressing almost 70 or 80 years later. Perhaps the people of the Johnine community, they were getting frustrated and discouraged when the second coming of Christ was delayed. So I think he's addressing this issue. And then the problem in the first reading, the problem between the Hellenists and the Hebrews, the Greeks and the Jews. What's the problem? Distribution of bread. The Hellenists complained that their widows were not being taken care of. So there is racial, cultural, partisanship, division. We think of the early Christian church as being this ideal community, but there were problems. And then Peter, clearly in today's first reading, is addressing those who, from the Christian perspective, have rejected God's word made manifest in Christ. And of them, he says, they stumble by disobeying the word, as is their destiny. So my point that I'm trying to make is very simple. On the one hand, there were many amazing things that happened in the church. For example, today's reading says the church grew in large numbers. It's a good thing. However, it is possible to conclude that life for these people was not unlike our own times. But the manner in which they went about resolving the problems shows the character of the early Christian community. And so it can for us. So here are my 3 points for today. Let me address the issue of the division between Hellenists and Hebrews. The character of the early church is proven in the way they finally resolved the issue at stake. The resolution was creative, godly, and most of all, it brought healing. They selected among them 7 reputable men filled with wisdom and spirit, whom they appointed to the task of distribution, while the disciples devoted themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And if you read the names of those people, the 7 people, among them were Jews and there were Hellenists. Somehow, in the midst of this problem, they're able to reach a very creative, holy, and healing decision. What does this mean for us? We are God's people in the here and now. And there are many beautiful things about us. But there are problems among us too. There are divisions among us. For example, should the RTA extend itself to Beaver Creek? Should our kids mix with the voucher kids? Should we encourage non-Catholic kids to come to our school? Are we going to lose something as a result of that? How do we take care of the poor in our midst? What shall we do with all the immigrants who live on the fringes of our society and of our community? How can we go about resolving these issues in a creative, godly, and holy way will prove our Christian character. To this we are called. First point. Second point, talking about the call, let me begin with the words from Peter in today's second reading. Peter is talking to his Christian community and he calls them and says to them, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart, that you might announce the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his own wonderful light." In one sense, here is the Christian character. Holy nation, royal priesthood, chosen race, people set apart. So in light of the other readings, it is possible for us to say that Peter is addressing to us. That we keep our Christian calling as we resolve the issues that are among us. Don't address these issues independent of your faith in Christ. How would Christ address the RTA transportation issue? How does God expect his chosen people to deal with the poor, the voucher kids, the immigrants, those who feel alienated? Who feels welcome to come to our community and worship and who doesn't? Who do we invite to communion and we do not? The way in which we answer these questions will prove whether we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart. The way in which we will resolve these issues will tell us if we are a people who are still in darkness or if we've moved on to God's wonderful light. Third point, I want Jesus to have the last word today. It is not easy to admit that there are problems among us, as there was in the early Christian community. But Jesus says to us today, do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God. Have faith also in me. And then to the very undiscerning Philip, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And my interpretation of the words of Jesus is that Jesus is not laying out a doctrine here as he's speaking those words. Rather, he was pointing out to his own life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus faced obstacles and challenges too, in the desert, at weddings, at meals, in sinful situations, for example, Zacchaeus or the adulterous woman, in the midst of storms and illness and even his own suffering and death, Jesus brought love, reconciliation, and healing. I am the way. I am the way. Follow my way of living. I am the truth. What's the truth? The truth that Jesus revealed in the gospel can be reduced to two simple principles: passionate love of God and genuine love of neighbor. Plain and simple. The truth is Jesus on the cross, passionately raised up towards God, yet his arms extended in love. That is the truth. Now Jesus asks the disciples to follow him, the way, the truth, and the life. And in them following Jesus, the way and the truth, they would find life. In that, they would become a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart. The life of Jesus is our Christian character. So we come here to this altar, bring bread and wine, place it before this man who is the truth, this God who is life, who is the way, and right here, this Jesus will come alive, bread and wine, now the body and blood of Christ. And as we come forward, as we walk this way, you come through the aisle to receive communion, think of you as accepting Jesus' invitation to follow Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And that doesn't stop here. You go back. As you head back home, head back to wherever you're going, whatever problems and issues you deal with, please keep our Christian calling, our Christian character at the back of your mind. And with Jesus in the depth of your being, I pray that together one day we will stand before God as the people set apart. And the people of God said,